You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I want to remind everybody, you have 2 hours to bid on, oh my gosh, all kinds of phenomenal experiences, things, memorabilia at the Cody and Gold garage sale next door to us at 96 The Fan. If you go to 965thefan.com, click on the Cody and Gold garage sale. They have been gathering up items all year.
Oh yeah.
In support of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. This is the fifth annual, minus that 1 year that legal wouldn't let us do it, the fifth annual Cody and Gold garage sale. And it's bigger and better than ever.
Great packages, like a private tour from Bob Kendrick for 10 at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. You get to go to Kelly's with Cody Tapp, golf with the 96.5 The Fan producers, hit the bar with Dusty at Third Street Social. I mean, there are so many good things to bid on. And of course, it all goes to a great cause.
There's a stay and play at the Prairie Band Casino. That's really cool, actually. That includes 2 hotel rooms.
Some custom painted cleats.
Yep. There's a Jake Eisenberg broadcast experience where you and a guest can join Jake and the Royals radio broadcast crew in action. The experiences this year are really neat. You can tour Jay Rieger.
You can buy random signage from different promotions that 96.5 The Fan put on, like a sign written in Sharpie that says Bobby Witt Jr. Lookalike Contest, because you need that.
This is my favorite. Free wings for a year from Jefferson's.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get a card that is valid for a 5-piece traditional wing or a 6-piece boneless wing meal once per week for an entire year. All you have to do is go to 965fan.com and
Scott's guitar picks up to $160.
Oh, for a Prince guitar pick.
Mm-hmm.
965thefan.com. Good on them. 2 more hours until that wraps, and all of the money benefits the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
And it's that big banner right up top. You can't miss it.
Cannot miss it. Once again, if you missed the tornado warning up to our north and to our east, still in effect for Davies, Grundy, and Sullivan counties in Missouri. That is a warning with a rotation radar detected tornado. Davies, Grundy, Sullivan counties in Missouri. The rest of y'all, we're just in a watch. We are in a tornado watch.
Until 9 p.m. tonight.
Until 9 p.m. tonight.
Be weather aware, have multiple ways to get the warnings. Do not rely on the outside sirens.
Yeah, how many times have you been asleep and you wake up the next morning and you're like, oh, there was a thunderstorm watch.
Twice recently, there have been tornado warnings that I straight slept through.
Missed that?
Yep.
Missed that? All right, I want to hear from my real estate agents this hour. You're not going to like the next story, but I think it's worth a good discussion.
Uh-oh.
From the New York Times, he writes, I tried to sell my house with a chatbot. Over 5 frantic days... I gambled my family's life savings on a hunch that AI might outperform a real estate agent. His name is Stuart Thompson. He is a technology journalist. Now, that's important because I feel like he did this full well knowing this is going to be one hell of a story, and it is. He says, I was sitting in my car when I got a phone call that was potentially worth more than $500,000. It was a real estate agent whose client was considering making an offer on my house, and she wanted to clarify a few details, including, had I really handled this entire listing privately? First house I've ever sold, I told her. And she says, I've been in this job for more than a day, and I was sure you were a real estate agent. The language you used, she said, the organization, the emails. He writes, none of it was me. It was all AI. A few days earlier, I had pressed go on an experiment involving my family's single largest financial asset. Could I sell our home without using a human real estate agent and instead rely almost entirely on a couple of chatbots? Now, Sam, you recently got a house. Dan, you've lived all over. I've always said that is the one asset I would never try to go alone, ever.
Yeah.
Can you do it? Absolutely. Would I be comfortable doing it? No.
I mean, it certainly depends. I think that having the key, the large language model key to all of that information to guide you through that process is invaluable. I mean, there were a certain number of things, and we loved our real estate agent. Our inspector was great. But it was mainly things that we just didn't know to ask. So we're in the house a year now, and we've probably identified 25 different things that had we noticed them when we looked at the house initially,
sure,
would have probably been deal breakers. Not major things.
To be clear, a chatbot would not have helped you with that.
But it could have said, hey, you should ask about this.
Okay.
Or you should ask about that, which we had no knowledge of. We were completely relying on the people around us to guide us through that process.
Have you ever sold by owner, Dan, or bought from someone selling by owner?
We've looked at it, but we've never done that. We've always worked through a realtor.
So he writes, as a technology journalist, I had watched artificial intelligence transform medicine, business, and even warfare, but I did not know how it would function in the far more intricate world of Hudson Valley real estate. His wife said, can we really do that? We don't know anything. And they did it. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch. And he put a lot of time into it. And he says, expected to do what 91% of people do when they sell a home. In the beginning, they expected they would hire a real estate agent. And that's numbers actually higher than I thought it would be. 91% of people have a real estate agent. He says the single most important part of the process is setting the listing price. And agents play an essential role in that, right? They've got their experience. They can use the market data. They know local demand. This is why if you're looking in a particular neighborhood, you guys, you try to find someone who either lives in that neighborhood that knows real estate or has moved out of that neighborhood that knows real estate. We had two or three in my former neighborhood that exclusively sold in that neighborhood. They know everything about it. They can tell you about the amenities.
Yeah.
He instead did the experiment and gambled, and it worked in this case. And I'm not saying this would be any different if he was going to sell by owner anyway. I would be too afraid I would screw up something that I could not reverse with the paperwork, with the titling, with the...
Oh, you that would go through the title broker.
I know the title broker still would have, but I'm just saying, Sam, with respect to the paperwork... Could a computer help us with that? Yes. I still would not trust myself to let that happen.
It's nice to have the personal touch of a realtor that you trust.
I was going to say, I think you could probably sell through AI, through an AI agent, but it would be more difficult to buy only because of the way the market has gone for the last 6-7 years, which is most homes sell before they even hit the market.
Now, let me ask you this. One agent said for this article that her brokerage uses an algorithm to estimate prices when they set a price. Are they not already using AI? And I bet you the answer is yes.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same thing that they do when they're doing comps. They're just running a program of homes nearby, similarly sized within a certain radius, and deciding if your home is worth what you're wanting to pay for it.
How do I feel about this?
It'll never take away the personal touch.
No, there's no way.
Or never, I guess, be able to fulfill that personal touch.
Now, keep in mind, he says this took weeks and weeks. He asked hundreds of questions over 3 weeks. When he needed to hire a photographer, the chatbot offered a list of local businesses, gave advice on staging. Most people listening don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with staging it. I don't want to deal with hiring a photographer. You are literally getting those services wrapped up in the fee. And, you know, you start talking $500,000 house and up, the real estate agent's fees can be high. There's no doubt about it. Anyway, we'll post the article on our social media sites. He did say the chatbot, by the way, made one major mistake.
Yeah.
Involving the buyer's agent commission. But outside of that, he said it went fine.
Well, who gets the buyer's agent?
Well, that depends, Sam. If you're selling by owner, you'll see signs around town that'll say, for sale by owner, agents welcome.
Huh.
And then you can negotiate that. I have had homeowners say to me when they are selling by owner, we looked at a house that was for sale by owner. And she said, if you have a real estate agent, that's great. That's not our problem. We're not paying your real estate agent. There are other people who will sell by owner and say they will, they can, you can negotiate that.
Interesting.
913-586-7798. We will be back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Please be weather alert, weather aware this evening. We are under a tornado watch. Almost every single one of you listening, if you are in Grundy County, Lynn County, until now 5:45, you have been added to that tornado warning. Davies, Grundy, and Lynn until 5:45. We're back with much more straight ahead. Stick with us. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Scott is off today. The phone number, 913-586-7798. Listen to this next story. Serena Williams and the coming reckoning with GLP-1s and performance enhancement. From one of my favorite publications, The Athletic. Serena Williams is back. Williams' comeback comes just under 1 year after she decided she had something else to tell the world. You guys have seen the ads. Last summer, the 23-time Grand Slam singles champion said she'd been taking Zepbound, one of the new generation of drugs designed to treat diabetes but can also help people lose weight. GLP-1s.
She does the ads for Roe.
You see the ads everywhere.
That sells it.
She looks amazing. Williams, 44, said that she made the decision after trying just about every other avenue. She had not wanted to, quote, take the shortcut, she said on Oprah Winfrey's podcast last August. But Williams said getting to where she wanted to be after her two pregnancies was not working through training alone. Quoting here from Williams, I could not beat the weight. It was the one opponent I couldn't beat. Williams, who manages her treatment through Roe, the telehealth company, for which she is a paid ambassador, joins Charles Barkley. Have you seen his ads? He is also an ambassador. Williams' husband, a founder of Reddit, is a major investor in Roe. At the time when she first took them on as a client, Williams had not played a professional match in nearly 3 years. In fact, she had snuffed out talk of a comeback. Busy being Serena Williams, one of the greatest tennis players and athletes of all time, a star of business, pop culture, all of that. All of that changed, they write, last week when Williams announced that she would play doubles at one of the main tune-ups for Wimbledon, which she has won 7 times.
But
here's the but. Everyone now knows she will be competing at the highest level of their sport, having taken one of the GLP-1 drugs, which anti-doping authorities have been monitoring since 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this. They are not a prohibited substance, nor are they classified as a performance-enhancing drug. They may never be. But there are people who are saying there is quiet debate on whether or not these should be banned in sports. Are you kidding me?
Why wouldn't they be banned?
Why should they be banned?
They're literally a performance-enhancing drug.
How are these a performance-enhancing drug? Explain that to me.
Because it helps you lose weight, which would make you perform better.
Sam, you will, full disclosure, pry my GLP-1 out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, for sure.
It has worked for me. Nothing else has worked for me. I'm a huge proponent. It's not for everybody. I don't have a single side effect. I know some people do.
For some people, it's a miracle
but
drug.
I'm not going to be able to go out and win Wimbledon. Guess what? My handicap in golf since I've lost 22 pounds has gone up. It has not gone down.
Well, is that about the golf play or?
I'm just saying, how can this be considered performance enhancing?
Because the biggest category of performance enhancement falls under one thing, which GLP-1s would also fall under: hormone replacement.
Mm.
It is a hormone supplement. That is what a GLP-1 is. And if you open that window, why can't I take peptides then?
Semaglutides have been on the World Anti-Doping Agency monitoring program since 2024. To Sam's point, they work by mimicking the behavior. Is it glucagon or glucagon? A naturally occurring hormone that triggers the pancreas to release insulin, slow digestion, and reduce appetite and hunger. People who take them, as you know, report significant reduction in, quote, food noise. The reduction in food intake can lead to significant weight loss. There is no timetable for these agencies to establish whether or not GLP-1s are going to be considered performance enhancing, but they're going to have to figure it out.
Okay, from the text line, guys, you can't be serious with these arguments. Multiple people have chimed in with the same argument. The gym helps you lose weight. Should athletes ban the gym?
Oh.
No. That's not it at all. It's about using medicinal intervention to help enhance your athleticism.
Creatine.
That's different. That's natural.
Why is creatine different?
Because it's natural. GLP-1 is not a natural thing.
But if you
you create GLP-1, input is not the same as creatine.
Don't you think that's natural then if you produce it anyway?
Well, then, I mean, if we're going to go based on that argument, then we should just allow peptides and straight TRT replacement therapy.
GLP-1s are not going to make you run faster. They're not going to make you put the ball in the hoop faster or better if you play basketball. They're not going to make you score a goal better if you play hockey.
Well, then why is weed not allowed?
Because that would slow you down in almost every category, would it not?
So wouldn't they allow it then?
I don't know why anyone would want to add that to their athletic repertoire. It's not my thing. Let's go to AA Ron. Hi.
So in this contest, is it a professional match or is it a, you know, for funsy match? I didn't quite hear
I
that.
Think it's a professional match.
Okay. So my thought on it is if she's competing against people that are younger than she is, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but she's been beat up in, I'm going to say, on the higher end of, you know, age for competitive sports.
Okay.
So she's got a lot of wear and tear. So I don't really see a problem with it if it's not for Wimbledon or whatnot, if it's just for funsies. And I also don't see a problem. Why don't they have the drugged out sport competition to where let's see how well we can actually perform, you know, with people that are juiced?
Yeah, we actually talked about that last week. They were going to come up with an all drug Olympics, right,
Sam? They did the enhanced games, and they offered $1 million to anybody who could break a world record. And that is not what happened.
The all drug Olympics, by the way, is a joke. That was a Saturday Night Live skit. If you've never seen it, it is hilarious with Kevin Nealon. Look it up. Here in the all drug Olympics. Look, he's pulled his arms off.
Oh, my God.
That is going to hurt tomorrow.
Enhanced games. I don't know. I really don't have an opinion on this. I don't care. I was just taking
a side. I don't know. I do care. Listen to this. To land on a banned list, a substance has to satisfy two of three criteria, okay? The potential to enhance sport performance, the potential to be a risk to the athlete's health, and the potential to violate what the agency defines in its code as the spirit of the sport. And I could argue that it doesn't do any of those things. It's going to make you feel better if it works for you, which I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying it will.
So what if the sport and these governing bodies aren't typically just tennis, they're all sports,
yeah,
right? What if the sport is a weight class sport? Again, just taking an argument for the sake of taking
great question, Sam. Wrestling.
Yeah.
Boxing.
I want to go down a weight class. I have been kicking butt. Man, I am jacked, but I'm 240 pounds, and I want to fight a 200-pounder.
Okay, but are they not already taking caffeine pills and protein powder substances that could give you a heart attack and all of those things to do that? I'm not saying that's okay. Or running with trash bags on. You know what I'm saying? Like all the things that wrestlers would do. Like, I hate to say this, but even back in my day in high school, to, quote, make weight.
Yeah, but I mean, sweating out your weight is not the same as taking a chemical supplement to force your body to create more of a hormone, which, again, is exactly what is banned under many circumstances. You cannot do TRT therapy. You cannot take peptides. So I don't know. Just making the argument to make the argument.
The concern is, as companies develop these to become faster acting and more effective, here it is. Athletes could use them as a shortcut for training, and that's where the violation of the, quote, spirit of sport could come into play. I don't, if you are a, like, level one top athlete, you're not skipping gym day and just injecting yourself in hopes that you're going to lose it. But I just don't believe it. Maybe I'm wrong.
The idea is attaining the peak physical human form and doing it in a sport. I can see that argument.
913-586-7798. What do you think? Talk about it straight ahead on Dana and Parks. I was waiting for someone to bring up this next point. Laura in Overland Park, with respect to the GLP-1s, please, you have the floor, my friend. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dana. Yes, I'm a nurse practitioner and I prescribe GLP-1s. What I have seen with patients, and the studies have also shown, not only are they losing body fat, but you will lose some muscle. And so when we're talking about athletes, I don't think it has been studied, but you know, as you're losing your lean muscle mass or percentage, that can hurt or decline your performance for any, I would say, any sport.
Yep. It did not happen to me. I will tell you that, Laura. I did not lose muscle mass, but I'm younger too. And we've all seen the people, you know, and whether this is in Hollywood or whatever, we've all seen the people like who one day looked one way.
Yeah.
And then they show up like maybe on a red carpet and you're like, oh my God. And their face is
gaunt.
Gaunt. Like,
yeah.
Drooping.
Right.
That is too much weight loss, too fast, not enough vitamins. People have lost their hair, Laura. I don't know if you've had ever had a patient have that happen.
But Laura, when
yes,
it comes
go ahead.
When it comes to the muscle decline, I've always been under the impression that that was due to a lack of protein consumption and a lack of physical activity. If you're somebody like Ms. Williams, who is obviously getting her protein and obviously getting the physical activity, or any other professional athlete for that matter, would that not put a stop to the issue of muscle loss?
You're absolutely right. So we have our program, calculating how much protein. I just know working with clients, it's almost hard for them to meet those goals because they have such a reduced appetite.
Yeah.
They tell me they feel sick, you know, and so we come up with different strategies, but they start losing muscle. And so sometimes, you know, they're not at that peak performance either, but it's hard for them to even strength train. They feel weak because they're not eating as many calories. So yeah, you have to find the balance to prevent that. And I think it's possible, but if you don't do it right, you will see muscle loss. So
I remember talking to Dr. Tag about this, and they'll give you like a sheet that shows what every single food, how much protein it has in it.
Yeah.
And you have to have a certain amount of protein a day. And you're thinking, well, I'll just eat eggs. Do you know how many eggs you would have to eat, Laura, in one day to come up with the amount of protein that you need? Like, it's a shocking number. You really do have to try to be creative to get the protein in. I've always been able to do it. I never had a problem doing it.
Yeah, no, it's just something to be mindful. And I think it'd be great to study that in athletes to see if it does decline performance, even when they're getting enough protein.
It's a great point.
Or, you know, hitting the gym. So yeah, thank you so much.
Great point, Laura. Thank you. Thank you so much for the call.
Protein is incredibly important.
Do you do shakes, Sam?
I do a protein shake first thing when I wake up in the morning. Because protein in the morning is even more important.
It's one of the easiest ways I get it. It's because you can't just eat your way to through protein all day.
I shoot for 240 grams of protein a day. It is not easy to do because your body can only process 50 at a time.
What do you eat?
Constantly.
Almonds?
I do you want me to go through
my meal? Yeah, I actually do. I'm so sick of chicken.
I start the day with breakfast, obviously, where I have anywhere from 4 to 6 eggs, anywhere from 4 to 6 slices of sausage.
Okay.
A cup and a half of Greek yogurt.
Yep.
Or cottage cheese. And then my lunch, I do a meat and cheese sandwich, which typically ranges about 30 to 40 grams of protein with how much meat and cheese I put on there.
Okay.
Bag of veggies, bag of fruit. That's lunch number one. Lunch number two is a cup and a half of rice. bag of veggies, bag of fruit, and then dinner, I have to try to get, again,
steak.
50 grams of protein in one meal.
Salmon.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Red meat.
I'm proud of you.
Rice.
It's hard to do. If you're just now joining us, please, tornado warning. Just a reminder, this is way up north and to our east, but it affects Grundy and Lynn. You are still on the list. Grundy and Lynn counties for a tornado warning. That's the bad one. Warning. The rest of us are under a tornado watch.
Man, they are getting pounded up
there.
They
really, really are. Really, really are.
Our tornado watch goes until 9 p.m. tonight.
Do you hear about the Air Canada pilot accused of flying more than 900 flights without a valid license?
Catch me if you can.
Going to be a movie about this. A former Air Canada pilot has been charged after flying for years without a proper license, according to police in Canada today, in a case that investigators say sort of mirrors a Hollywood screenplay. His name is Jeffrey Wall. And he is alleged to have operated as an airline captain between 2009 and 2025 without a license to fly large commercial passenger planes. Yet, he piloted more than 900 flights domestically and internationally without that required license. How did they catch him? They allege that the 59-year-old had been flying for years, misrepresenting himself and his credentials to his employer, as well as to regulatory officials, using fraudulent licensing documents.
There it is. It really is. Catch me if you can.
It really is. Similar to a doctor that is licensed to practice family medicine, but doing brain surgery instead. So he wasn't like never a pilot. He actually was a pilot. It's my understanding he didn't have the needed certification to pilot the large commercial aircraft.
Commercial now, multi-engine,
now keep
yeah.
in mind, he did so successfully. I'm not saying this is okay, but he did so successfully for almost 20 years.
Did he ever crash?
No.
I mean, sounds like he's batting 1,000.
What happens to him? Air Canada claims safety was never compromised. Okay.
I mean,
an audit of his performance found no instances of issues.
If nothing bad happened,
he knew what he was doing. The difference is, the difference is in Catch Me If You Can. He was not a pilot. Leonardo DiCaprio was not trained as a pilot.
Right.
He was just embezzling,
right,
and then hopping in the jump seat and taking free flights. This guy was a pilot, for real.
Actually flew the plane.
Never
wrecked.
Just didn't have the certification to maybe fly this plane.
Man, that's tough because you don't want to just let it go. Kind of like the whole Texas Tech and
he
sports betting thing.
He flew a bajillion flights. The guy's got to know what he's doing, yeah, doesn't he? Now,
he's probably got more flight hours than most people that are actually credentialed to fly those jets.
It would probably be like a surgeon, like they said, who only operates on feet, and you need a kidney replaced.
Right.
It doesn't mean the surgeon's not really, really good at what they do, but maybe it doesn't transfer over. Like, you know, if you were the person in need of a transplant, you probably wouldn't want the foot person doing your kidney.
Does he have a scalpel? Can he sew me back up?
913-586-7798. We will wrap things up straight ahead. Once again, tornado warning for Grundy and Lynn counties until 6:30 tonight. You got about another 45 minutes. We're back after this. So we spent the entire first hour talking about Lee Summit and downtown days and all of that awfulness. And I just saw this from Casey Discover on Facebook. A metropolitan-wide curfew for minors is set to begin tonight. And they list all of the different counties and all of the different parameters. Did we know about this, Sam? Or is this just like one of those things that every summer it's suggested you have to be with a parent after 11 p.m. or something?
I mean, I think they really put it into place about 13 years ago.
This says for Cass and Jackson, if you are 15 or younger, you have to be with a parent or guardian after 10 p.m. Entertainment districts. Here's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone younger than 18 has to be with a parent or guardian after 9 p.m.
No lingering in Westport as a child to cause problems.
This says in Wyandotte County, curfews for minors under 18 are now in effect. Specifically, minors age 15 and under are prohibited from being in public spaces between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. on weekdays. I would think so. And 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. on weekends.
I mean, I got popped for curfew a few times growing up. You know, out riding bikes with your friends, pulling all-nighters because that was apparently a cool thing to do.
Yep.
And, you know, we would go and bike around at, we were 13, 14 years old, biking around at 2, 3 in the morning. And sure enough, here comes the Overland Park police officer.
Roop.
Hey, kids, it's time to go home.
Time to go, which is exactly how it should work. Time to go home. Time to go home. This from the Kansas City Star. If you are planning on going to FanFest, which looks amazing, by the way. Have you seen the big heart that you walk through to go in FanFest? Take some coin because apparently the beer and the sodas.
Oh, my.
Oh, you guys.
God.
Now, you would see the same thing at a Chiefs game. You'd see the same thing at a concert. I'm just reporting the news here.
It ain't that expensive.
At the Tuesday soft launch for Kansas City's FIFA FanFest, a keen observer snapped a photo now posted to Reddit highlighting the staggering drink prices. Now, this is FIFA's thing, though, isn't it, Sam? This isn't like a city thing.
No, I think it's run by FanFest, or by FIFA, yeah.
The prices include $7 bottled sodas, like Diet Coke, $7, and $18 to $19 beer and cocktails, $28 if you want a double shot.
Who?
Good
God.
And someone wrote, good God, just no. FIFA, quit trying to gouge everybody.
The reality of it is, I mean, when you go to like a Chiefs game, if you get an $18 beer, it is the premium draft, like local craft beer. The regular beers are like $13, $14. This is
okay,
ridiculous.
So they mention that in this article. As high as the prices are at FIFA, a 16-ounce domestic beer at a 2025 NFL game was $10, as high as $16.50. All three American beers ordered at FanFest are 25 ounces and cost $18 to $19.
Well, 25 ounces, I guess you're getting two beers, but...
At the Chapel Roan concert, cocktails started at $17 for a single, $19 for a 24-ounce Modelo, and $6 for a soda. So...
It just sounds like it's Memorial Lawn prices.
This is in the wheelhouse of what you're going to... I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying be ready to pay... Arrowhead and concert prices.
Here's
if you,
you
are
do.
Going to FanFest.
You go home and you get plowed. And then you hop in an Uber and you go to FanFest and walk it off.
So sure about that.
I'm not actually suggesting that. That's a horrible idea.
We would like to just clarify that Sam
suggesting that.
Was joking
that
just
was
now.
A joke.
We would like to strike that from the official record of this program. And once again, in Overland Park, they are trying to locate a dog and its owner involved in a Monday bite incident. The owner did not do the biting. The dog did the biting. What is it about Overland Park and the dog bite? It happened Monday at 11:45 a.m. This is what's always curious about these stories to me. Two people are walking past each other on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
One of the dogs jumps out and takes a bite out of the other adult. The dog bite owner just keeps on walking.
Nothing to see here.
Why do people not stop when something like that happens? Now this person's going to have to get a rabies shot because they don't know if the dog that bit the person had the rabies.
These people know that their dog is reactive. If they actually bit someone, this is not the first time.
You would just die. You would be like, oh my God, this is my name. This is my number. He has all his vaccinations.
Barb, with certain people, can be reactive whenever she even nips at a guy. And it's always a guy. And she never has actually bitten anyone. She'll just get kind of close and look pretty scary. We apologize profusely. Oh, my God, are you okay? Did she get you? I'm so sorry.
Right.
How do you just keep on walking?
And she has all of her rabies shots. The person walking the dog, by the way, is described as a heavier set white woman with gray hair in Overland Park.
Hello.
Pug or French Bulldog did the biting, by the way.
You have 1 more hour to go check out the Cody and Gold
garage
sale.
Please go do that.
96965thefan.com. It's the big banner. And, of course, stay weather aware. We're under a tornado watch until 9 p.m. tonight.
Have a good night, everybody. Be safe. Be good. We'll talk tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.